Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to this 54th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, May 23rd. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through the manner in which they live their lives, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. If you live in the United States, are you looking forward to Memorial Day weekend? It's one of the biggest holidays of the year, but why? Does it simply represent an extra day off for you, the beginning of summer, or time and a half on your paycheck? Memorial Day deserves and demands the respect of every American. It is the day we honor the sacrifices of our fallen, the day we owe our deepest gratitude to those who gave everything they could possibly give to protect our freedom. This morning, it is an honor to have with me Gold Star Mom Scottie Domey, who sacrificed one of her most precious possessions. Her son, Army Ranger Sergeant First Class Christopher Domey, was killed in action on October 22, 2011, after serving multiple tours in the War on Terror. Scottie holds the significance of Memorial Day in her shattered heart every day forward since that fateful date. Scottie is a talented writer, and her work has been published in the New York Times, Southwest Art, School Days, SAM Journal, and parenting magazines. She is a contributor to Violence of Action, the untold stories of the 75th Ranger Regiment in the War on Terror, and various devotional publications. Scottie currently serves as director of Springs Writers and is a solo parenting columnist for Colorado Springs Kids. Welcome to the show, Scottie. Scottie, are you there? Yes.
I am. I'm here.
I'm sorry. Blog Talk automatically turns off your mic for some reason to me, and I forgot to turn you on. So you were probably talking, and I couldn't hear you. I am so sorry.
Thank you for interviewing me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm very honored to have you here, Scottie. I know that your story is a very difficult and heart-wrenching one, and I appreciate you sharing with us. Your son, Christopher Brian Domey, has a very special distinction in the history of the United States military. I mentioned that he served multiple tours, but would you elaborate on that for us?
Yes, my son, Christopher, my firstborn, was killed on his 14th deployment. He's the most
14, that's a lot.
Yes, he's the most deployed soldier in American history to be killed in action. And he served a total of 48 months fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing.
And the night he was killed, the high-value target that they were trying to capture was a Pakistani Taliban commander with expertise as an IED maker. This particular IED maker was very skilled, most aren't. So capturing this guy was crucial to saving a lot of Afghani and American lives, but his compound was booby-trapped, and three people were killed that night, and I think about 20 were injured.
Oh, my. Well, Scottie, Christopher joined the military just prior to the disastrous 9/11. So
your son
was already in the service. So what feelings did you as a mom of a son in the military experience on that day?
Well, he joined prior to 9/11 because he wanted to be an Army Ranger and he wanted to jump out of airplanes and blow up stuff. But after his first deployment, he said, "Mother, I never expected us to go to war." But how I felt about him joining the military was I grew up during the Vietnam era and saw how the Vietnam vets were treated. And I was appalled by that. And I didn't want my son to join the military. And also, the military is not allowed to fight to win. The politicians pull the strings. And the politicians during the Vietnam War had no skin in the game because their children weren't drafted, yeah. So when Christopher was 17, he wanted me to sign for him to go. And I said, no. But what I didn't tell him was, if I sign and you're killed, I'd feel guilty. But also, you know, I said, well, I'd rather you go to college. I'd rather you do this or that. But if you choose to join, I will support you 3,000%. What I didn't tell him was, in my heart wouldn't, but his mom would support him. And mm-hmm. so on his 18th mm-hmm. birthday, he joined. That's what he really wanted to do. But when 9/11 occurred, I will tell you, when that plane flew through the World Trade Center tower, I immediately thought, oh, no, we are at war. My son is going to war. And I never wanted my son to go to war and see the atrocities of war.
Of course not, yeah. I'll share with you just briefly, Scotty, my only real involvement with the military. Of course, my husband had served, but that was long before I met him. He was Air Force. My sister, she wanted to go into the Air Force when she was, I believe she was only 17, and my parents were the same way. They were not thrilled. But as it turned out, she and my brother-in-law did. They served 20 years in the Air Force. This was during the 73 to 93 era. They did 10 years at the Pentagon, and I was always so very proud of the both of them. And they, in their town, they make all military holidays, Veterans Day and Memorial Day, are big events there. And it's so nice because they're always right in the middle of it. They're always involved. And I'm always so proud when I get pictures of them, you know, in uniform and everything. And but that's the only real, well, we had a very good friend here in town, yes, who served in the war on terror as well. But I just thought I'd share that with you, that, you know, yeah. I never had a son.
I wanted my son to join the Air Force because I figured they shoot from a distance and they're safer. But he was only interested in the Army Rangers. But as it turned out, my son was the first JTAC qualified evaluator, which had been an Air Force job. And what that means, it's a joint terminal attack controller. And it's the person on the ground giving the coordinates to the Army, Navy, and Air Force of where to, you know, drop their bombs or shoot their missiles.
Sure.
So that's another distinction my son has, is being the Army's first qualified JTAC. And they named a building at Fort Sill after him, where they trained him.
Oh, that's quite an honor, Scotty. And if
yes,
I'm not mistaken,
is.
Well, we'll get into that later. But yeah, that is quite an honor.
Well, you
so
know,
Scotty,
I think every Gold Star's parent is afraid your child will be forgotten. And the fact that the building is named after him is an honor. And I actually had them put a Bible verse on the stone outside. And that was quite interesting about, you know, a brother who gives his life for another, because I wanted everyone who came through those doors to know that Christ gave his life for us.
Yes. And in turn, these young men are giving their lives for our freedom.
Right.
Yeah. And where is Fort Sill, Scotty? I should know, but I don't.
It's in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, of course. I should have remembered that. Okay. Well,
Scotty,
did you see Christopher between deployments? Did he get to come home? And if so, did you see changes in him over time, and what were those changes?
I didn't get to see him a lot during deployments for two reasons. When they're home, they are training, and they're very busy. And also, his dad was dying of a deadly cancer, so he'd go visit him, and I would, like, give up Christmases, but Christopher was supposed to come to my house and so that he could go see his dad. As far as what changes I saw in him over time, we talk on the phone, and the times we were together, I noticed how much he matured. He was mature beyond his years, but I think that's because of the experiences and what he saw in the Iraqi and Afghani culture, that it was so different than ours, and also just seeing the realities of war. I do recall one time listening to him, and I have a sense that he changed a thought. They're turning him into a killer And I really wish I journaled that conversation. But at that time, I didn't realize the incredibly dangerous kill or be killed situations that he was in. Because a ranger is a trained killer. And having grown up in the ministry, that was really kind of tough for me. But one day I received an email from him that said, "I had a bad night, Mom. Will you call? I'll call you tomorrow." And I emailed back immediately, "Were you wounded?" And he said, "No, I can't talk about it." And I immediately went to the Department of Defense website to look for the name of a dead ranger. And I also Googled ranger dead. And someone who was very close to Christopher was killed by an IED. So I emailed Christopher the news reports, and he wrote back, "You got it," because they're not allowed to talk about it. So I flew to Seattle to meet my son at Fort Lewis when he returned home from his deployment, because I wanted him to be able to talk about it. While I was waiting, I asked the commander, I said, "So do you get counseling for these people?" You know, I come from a ministry background.
Sure.
Because war, man, it's death. It's just business. It's just business. They can talk to a chaplain if they want. And that was disturbing to me. So I took Christopher and we went to his favorite place. He loved tacos. He loved burritos. And I just wanted to give him the opportunity to talk or to process. And I found out later it was a very, well, all Christopher says is, "I don't know how they put his body back together so well for the casket." And, but all he said, he started to talk and just said, "There was so much blood, Mom, I can't talk about it, but I'll never forget the look of pain on his face. Never." But usually soldiers don't talk about that with their family members. But apparently they talk about it with each other. But I was worried about PTSD, which I found out later he did have a little bit. I found out he was deaf in one ear from one explosion. And so, you know, these guys suffer a lot that we don't see. And I call them the emotional wounds of war, the hidden wounds of war. And when some of those in the military die by suicide, I just think they died from the hidden wounds of war.
Yeah, there is no way that I don't think any human being can see some of the things that these young men see without it affecting them emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and sometimes physically.
Are you familiar with the movie The Lone Survivor?
I'm not.
My son was, it was a SEAL, and but my son was part of that rescue team. And I know that I talked to a buddy who was there. And he told me that was when Christopher's emotional issues started with the war. A lot of things that happened during the fight. And so one of the things is this particular young man, and when I get a chance to talk to rangers, and if the door opens, I don't push it. I asked him, "Are you getting help for your PTSD?" And actually he told me he was. And apparently the Army is trying to do more. But that's something that I wish veterans would reach out for help. But, you know, they're tough guys.
Oh, yeah. See, I saw parts of that. I'm sorry.
And while they're in the military, it can ruin their career if they try to get help. So it's sad.
Yeah. I saw parts of that side of it, Scotty, because just for your information, listeners who listen to the show regularly probably already know this because I've probably said it 1,000 times, but my background is in psychiatric nursing and I worked at the VA hospital.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I worked at Fort Lyon VA Medical Center while it was open. Oh, yeah, we'll have to talk after the show. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And I also wanted to say, I apologize. Usually when I do start my show, I do ask my guests about their background. So share with us a little bit. You've mentioned a time or two that you have a ministry background. So share with us a little bit about that background and how that kind of affected the whole scenario that unfolded here for you in your life.
Well, I jokingly say Daddy was a pagan and Mama was a Methodist, but it was true. And when I was two, my parents got saved, even though my mother had grown up in church and served in the church. But they went to a little Baptist revival and realized that they didn't know that Jesus Christ had died for them. And so they invited Christ into their lives, and Daddy felt called into the ministry. And so I grew up a PK, and then I went to college, and I met my husband, who was a PK, and I did not want to go in, and I didn't want to be a pastor's wife, but it ended up he went into ministry, and then my husband was unfaithful, which propelled me into single parenthood, but Christopher was three and his brother was 9 months. And so I was a single mom, and I was involved in single parent ministry. And, you know, that's kind of where I ended up today. So when my son joined the military, that was such a culturally different background. You know, and then when he wanted to join the military, I just wanted him to be an evangelistic Dave Reaver.
Sure.
But so it was culturally very, very, it's very different. I jokingly tell the generals and different people I meet, yeah, you're an alien nation. But one of the interesting things that happened to me was when I was propelled into single parenting, my husband was unfaithful, I was no longer really a part of the Christian church body. I was quite shocked. The place that had been my home were not supportive. I was, you know, the downfall of America. My children were going to bring us down. But when my son was killed, the Army treated me with such honor. I just couldn't believe it. Several generals told me not everyone can raise a warrior. Well, in the Christian community, I was raising a child doomed to fail. And so I just claimed Jeremiah 29:11, that God had their future and their hope in his hands. And so when Christopher was killed, I realized that God had honored that prayer, not only from, I guess my son's famous in the military, but what he'd accomplished, who he was, his impact upon his men. Because I was, one of the guys told me, if my son came in wearing a T-shirt tucked in the front and loose at back with a certain kind of bell buckle, 3 days later, everybody was wearing the same outfit.
Oh, because he was kind of the trendsetter.
Well, because he was such a leader. And I just realized.
Such a what?
Such a leader.
Okay.
So for all the single parents who believe that we're just second-class citizens or our children will never amount to something because religionists, criminologists, and sociologists statistically say, you know, our children are doomed. It's a lie because God promises something else. Plus, just one quick thing on the statistics. For example, they say, like, I don't remember the exact statistics, but so, like, 42.1% of all people in prison are like from single parent homes, but then 40.9% come from nuclear families. So they skew the statistics. But the bottom line is we have to trust God, what He tells us about who we are in Him and who our children are. And who our children are in Him and what we can pray for our children.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, Scotty. Well, here you are. Like you said, you were a PK.
Yeah.
You are an adult now. You have a son. who he has this undaunting devotion to the military. I mean, you have seen this young man, even though you're on the fringe of it, you have a fairly decent idea of what his life is like on a daily basis. And my impression is that he basically volunteers, does he not?
Yes,
to stay in this environment for a long period of time. How did that affect your faith journey, Scotty?
Well, I will tell you, it makes the verse, especially when they're deployed, pray without ceasing, very real.
I'm sure.
And the other thing is, I will be honest, my faith seesawed between I trust you, God, and please don't let my son die.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was killed, I went back to the two things that the Bible says, that God knows the day we're born and the day we'll die, and the dash in between is ours to live. And in the 90s, I went through a really a huge betrayal by Christians. And I went through a period of why God, for way too long. And I was very angry. But I'm very thankful I went through that in the 90s, because when Christopher was killed, I didn't go there. Because what I learned in the 90s was the old why God thing, it's argumentative. And even if God gave me an answer, it wouldn't change the pain. Mm-hmm. Also, it's just a deep hole. It when I did my little why God thing, it just sucked me down into this emotional depression and deep hole. So I was really thankful I went through that in the 90s, because I've seen a lot of gold star parents who reject their faith when their child is killed. Because mm-hmm. it may be like their first big traumatic incident in life. But that's part of the faith walk. In order to know God, we have to ask a lot of questions. And I don't have a problem with people questioning their faith, because it's not yours if you don't question it and know it for yourself.
Exactly. Well, here's another question, Scotty, and this might be kind of a tough one. You asked God to keep, don't let your son die.
Yes.
But did you ever say, God, even if my son comes back with severe mental or physical, you know, damage is, that's a terrible word, but you know what I'm saying? Would that have been okay?
I prefer that over death. I prefer that
over
death.
That was my question. That was my
question.
And I
often thought, if he came back and could not take care of himself, yes, I would take care of him. But I also
take care of him.
Two disabled mm-hmm. ladies. Yeah, I take care of two disabled ladies in my home, so I'm not unfamiliar with the disabled. But I know my daughter-in-law mentioned to me, because Christopher's legs were blown off and he was dead within minutes, because the blood was rushing out like a fire hose.
Sure.
And which is a blessing, because the first question you ask is, did my son suffer?
Did they suffer?
And the blast was so huge, he probably felt nothing. But I thought if something like that happened, I'd be there for my son, but I'd have my son, even though I knew it would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to tell you is, but my daughter-in-law said something else, because I wondered, I've seen soldiers who have to whose legs were, they didn't have legs below the knees. But I found out from my doctor that's usually from surgery, not from a battlefield injury like my son had. But my daughter-in-law said, I don't think Christopher would have wanted to live like that. But mm-hmm. I also think that he was just stubborn enough that he would make the absolute best of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of like my husband. My husband passed not quite a year ago now, And he passed an open heart surgery, and they had told me afterwards that had he survived that surgery, he would have been on hospice care on a lot of pain meds. And that's how I was able to kind of reckon with things, that would he want to live that way? He would have, if God had said, you know what, I want you on earth for another 5 years or 10 years to be with your family in all this pain, he would have said, okay, but I would have had a hard time seeing him in that kind of pain and discomfort. So yeah, I've kicked that one around myself.
Yeah.
Scotty, this is a good time. It's about 8:25. This is a good time to take what I call a little break. I just want listeners, we have listeners that come in and out of Blog Talk Radio when they come into the show and don't know what we're talking about. So I'm going to tell them. We are listening to, you listeners are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Today, I am very honored to have Scotty Domey, who is the Gold Star mom of Army Ranger Sergeant First Class Christopher Domey, who was killed in action October 22nd, 2011. He had served 14 tours in the War on Terror. He was the most deployed soldier in the War on Terror to be killed in action. So that is quite a distinction for Christopher and for Scotty. We have been talking about we have been talking about Scotty's son this morning and all of the different emotional aspects of dealing with this kind of a situation. And Scotty has so much shared her heart with us. And we're doing this in honor of Memorial Day, because Memorial Day is going to be coming up for this next weekend, next Monday. And we're hoping to instill in listeners' hearts the importance of what that day means. And we will talk further about that. But in the meantime, if you want to hear more about Scotty, you want to learn more about Scotty, I have several URLs that I'm going to put up for different stories that she has written. She's also a writer. I failed to mention that. And different links to information about her son. I have a website. It is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. If you go to that website, you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab. And under that tab is a page called Website and Social Media Information. And you will find the links to the social media outlets for all of the guests that we've had on the show. I invite you to go there. And also, I want to make listeners aware that this show is on archive. So if you came in the middle of it, or you want to listen to it again, or you want to refer it to friends, there's a archive shows page under that Blog Talk Radio tab as well. So you have access to this show and all of our shows. And if you enjoy this one or any of them, I would ask that you would spread the word. Scotty also has a Facebook and a Twitter account, and they will also be accessible under that page that I just talked about. So Scotty, let's get back to what we were discussing here. We didn't mention that your son did have a family, correct? He had a wife and I believe a couple of children. Yeah.
Yes, two little girlies.
Oh my goodness. And how old were they when he passed?
Micaiah was almost 3 and Aaliyah was 18 months.
So they really never knew their dad that well.
Micaiah does.
Does she?
But Aaliyah, I'm not sure if Aaliyah remembers him, but I know when we went to the building dedication, they had his picture on this
plaque or something.
It's on a marble column outside, and she rubbed her hand on it. She was about 2 at that time. She goes, "Daddy," it was
Oh my goodness. So then how much time did he get to spend at home if he was in the service, or surely they weren't over there with him?
No. Well, the way the Rangers, they deploy for about 3 months at a time, but they deploy multiple times a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So probably half of their marriage he was deployed.
But he was able to be at home and live a normal family life, more or less, for periods of time.
Well, there's nothing normal.
as normal as it gets.
About a military life. However, had he lived, he was taking a new job where he would have been home more, which is what he wanted. But he still would have been deployed had to go on deployment because of his specialty of being a JTAC.
Right. Okay. Well, we talked about your faith journey during all of this, Scotty. How do you think, or do you even know, how do you think Christopher's experiences affected his relationship with God? Did he ever share that with you? Did you have a sense of that?
Well, we didn't. We honestly didn't talk about that. And part of it was when his dad was unfaithful and then went back into the ministry and married the woman he was unfaithful with. That was very complicated.
Sounds like maybe.
So I couldn't talk. I didn't talk about those things with my son because it seemed to be tied into his dad, even if it wasn't. I just prayed that God would surround him with godly men, and I found out the majority of men in special forces are Christians. And so the chaplain he had was amazing. And I asked him, and he would see Christopher reading his Bible on his bunk, you know, in war, and that made me feel really good. But on September 24th, 2011, less than a month before Christopher is killed, he wrote these words on his Facebook page from Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Then he said, "Thank you for all the love. If I don't get back to you anytime soon, sorry." Christopher truly felt, and I think that some of these guys know when they're not coming back. I've talked to other Gold Star parents. But Christopher felt truly called by God to be a ranger. Before deployment, he'd often shoot me an email, "I'm off to do Lord's work." But I confess, Army Ranger never appeared on my top 10 list of called by God. But how and where we live out our calling looks different for each person. I'm awed by how my son lived out his high calling, fully aware of the risk. He wanted to make a difference. And like a missionary, he was willing to lay down his life for his value, his family, his friends, even strangers. And you know, how many people can say they live from the heart with that kind of passion and integrity?
Yeah.
Most people spend their lives running away from difficulties or trying to sprint past them as fast as possible. My son bolted toward challenging, dangerous situations. And just as soldiers are willing to die so Americans can be free, Jesus died on the cross to secure our spiritual freedom, and Christ walked towards Jerusalem, towards the cross, toward deadly pain to bleed out and secure our eternal freedom for death. And my son bled out on the Afghani compound to secure freedom for us.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy stuff, Scotty.
And something else is, I think the way he lived out, the Rangers have told me about my son's example and commitment to his family and his faithfulness to his wife. And before his final deployment, he told Sarah, "I love you and want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I'll do whatever it takes." But Christopher would be sent out on TDYs, and he lost respect for married men who would walk from the bar to a hotel room with a one-night stand, which I guess is typical.
And just to clarify for our listeners who know nothing about the military, TDY stands for temporary duty, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't remember what it stood for. But I know when one Ranger wanted to quit his marriage, Christopher encouraged him, saved his marriage. Another Ranger told me that on one deployment, Christopher walked up to him on the plane that was waiting for takeoff, and he said, "We're two guys over the limit. Go home and spend time with your family." Then when Christopher was invited to the White House to attend a Medal of Honor ceremony honoring Leroy Petrie, Christopher said, "Thank you. I'll stay home with my family." So I think that he lived his values, and I think that's something that one of the ones at Fort Carson explained to me, because, you know, these guys use colorful language. And I struggled with that, but the chaplain explained to me they don't just talk their faith, blah, blah, blah. They live it in their actions.
Absolutely. Well, Scotty, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to talk about the dark times they have lived through and how they came back to light. And I mean, it just goes without saying that obviously this was the darkest time ever for you. So, and I'm sure that we will tie in the Gold Star family community into this. How did you ever find your way back to light after this devastating news that after all he had been through, your son was killed?
Well, the night they told me, when I went to bed, I was literally under about 12 inches of down covers. I was shaking. The adrenaline is, it freezes, you're shivering. And I just heard these words in my mind, God numbers our days, and that was comforting to me. And it was hard. The first year is, you're frozen. And also, one thing that drove me crazy was your brain is processing the trauma. And so I did some research, and you only have 15% of your emotional margin to function on, because the other 85% is being drained by the trauma. And they say that a military death, when your child is killed in a violent way, and on his death certificate it says homicide, which shocked me.
Really?
I'm told it's a more complicated grief. But, you know, anyone who loses a child is absolutely devastating, no matter if it's a miscarriage or mm-hmm. whatever, or any way that you lose your child. But So I did this research, and your brain is processing, and it pushes out everything you don't need, which is your memory. So
yes.
The first year was very frustrating. I can't find my car keys. I'd be driving back from the grocery store, and I didn't recognize anything. It was like I had amnesia. I didn't know where I was. I'd have a panic attack. I didn't know how to get home. I just didn't have access to my memory. But the second year, I was hoping it would get better. when you kind of unfreeze, it was your every cell in your body is on fire with pain, and there's nothing you can do. It was just absolutely devastating. It hurt to breathe. It was hard to walk. It was just horrible. But thankfully, I was part of the Gold Star Moms, and so they walked alongside with me because they'd already been through it. They were farther along than I was. But this October will be year six, and at least I can function again. But the pain's always there. I feel it always. And
you probably always will, yeah.
Yeah, now it's changed. It's not like it possessed your body like in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think you learn to live with it. And so it's been a very difficult journey. And then what makes it hard is a month after this happens, everybody thinks you're supposed to be okay. And
oh, yeah.
I know the other Gold Star parents, the majority of Gold Star parents, from what I'm observing, it appears they all lose their jobs because you can't concentrate because your brain is processing this trauma and you have no control over it. Plus then there's the emotion of the loss that are so devastating. For some parents who didn't have grandchildren, it's a complete loss of their future.
Right.
Your child's future and grandchildren. So there's just so many things that you grieve, expectations that you had that will never come to fruition. But it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And I've gone through.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Yeah. I can't imagine anything worse. You know, even loss of a home, you still have your loved ones. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I So in the 90s, I started a list of the Hebrew names of God, and I have about 350. And so I would get up, and so each Hebrew name of God, it's revealing some attribute of God and how he works in a particular situation in the Bible. And sometimes when I get up and I was just really struggling, I would go to my list and I would say, what part of you do I need today, God, to make it through this day? And one of the other things that I did, especially in the beginning, is I listened to the Bible on CD. I couldn't read. It was like the words bounced all over the page. I couldn't concentrate. Oh. And Psalms was just wonderful. It was like it was comforting, but it also validated my pain. And I call Psalms the heartbroken beat of Scripture. And so when I was listening, there would just be things that was almost like electrical. It would just jump out at me that I'd never seen or heard today before, mm-hmm. or when you read it, that would just give me enough strength to make it another 30 minutes or an hour.
Yeah, I'm reading through the Psalms right now in my Bible in a year, and I know exactly what you mean, Scotty. I know exactly what you mean, because even though it's been almost a year for me losing my husband, and my pain can't even begin to compare to yours, but yeah, Psalms is a very comforting book of the Bible.
Well, and then when you think you're starting to get to stabilize, then there'll be something unpredictable. I call them grief bursts.
Yep.
That will hit. And one of the things I've learned is I just don't fight it. I just allow it. I just allow it to roll through. It's kind of like a wave. And if it takes 2 or 3 days, then I just don't. I allow myself to feel those feelings and I feel better. I found that if you push it down or if you don't let yourself cry, it's like the tension and the grief becomes even more stressful and stronger. So I think one of the things I learned from my divorce is I just kept going. And when Christopher was killed, I started to recognize different signs of grieving. And I was good to myself this time. I allowed myself to grieve. I don't just push myself and ignore it.
Yeah, it's something that you have to acknowledge. Excuse me, you have to acknowledge it, and you can't use everybody else's standard that, oh, you should be over this in 3 months, or
well,
it's already been years. Get over it and move on, because it doesn't work that way.
We live in a grief-averse culture. I know when I met my husband's grandmother for the first time, she took me over to a picture. And she was Savidish, Granny de Maya, and she showed me Enoch's picture. And he died like 50 years ago. And I remember thinking, that's odd. Why is she doing this? But she just wanted me to know that this was one that she loved and I needed to know about. I was kind to her, but now I know. And I remember asking a Vietnam veteran Vietnam Gold Star mom, I said, Ruth, tell me it's going to get better. And her son was killed 50 years ago. And she says, no, it doesn't. She said, it's different. And you just try not to think about it as much. So for me, knowing the reality helps me deal with it. Because the one thing about grief, there are people who can ignore it, but it's always waiting just outside your heart when you're ready to open the door and allow yourself to mourn.
Yes, exactly. Scotty, our time is moving on really fast here, too fast, and there's a couple of things I definitely want to bring up before we close out the show. First of all, you are a contributor to the book, Violence of Action, The United, you can tell I can read real well today, The Untold Stories of the 75th Ranger Regiment in the War on Terror. How important do you think it is for readers in the general public to know the stories of the experiences our veterans and military personnel encounter?
You can't know the sacrifice they make for us without reading those stories. You know, in the 50s, everybody had been touched by war, World War II or the Korean War. Now only 0.4% served. So the majority of our population doesn't support the military, doesn't understand what they do for us. And like for violence of action, Marty, the guy who pulled that all together, was actually a result of speaking with me. He came to my house and we talked, and I said, you know, 10 years of my son's life is a black hole. I don't know what he did, because Rangers don't talk about what they do. So he had these guys tell their stories, which is therapeutic for them. It was hard, but therapeutic. And so he asked me to write a piece for the book, and actually I thought I didn't know what violence of action meant, and I thought, gee, I've never been published in something like that, and I don't know if I want to be published in somebody that probably has the F word, because I'm published in things like love is a verb and Christmas miracles. And I said, I don't think what I have to say, because it's going to be flaming about my faith, is what you want. And he says, this is exactly how I want to end the book, Scotty, because this is going to be very hard for these guys to share, and I want to give them hope. And then as a result of that, I ended up, Marty brought me on to Blackside Publishing. And then now I'm in charge of Blackside Publishing. So we publish stories that are real, raw, and transparent. And military stories, but also stories of faith. And there's one thing I do want to talk about. Bonnie Carroll lost her husband in an airplane crash in the early 90s, and she started TAPS, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. And TAPS provides grief camps for families and friends and their children. And they have retreats. And I have to tell you, that has ministered to me so much, because you go, first time I went, it was 5 months after Christopher's killed. I'm sitting in a room of several hundred people, and I know I don't have to explain how I feel. They get it, because I'd already been told to move on, get over it. You don't get over the death of your child.
No.
And so you move through, and you move to a different place. But TAPS.org, it has just been such a blessing in my life to be able to go and be with people who truly get it, because the majority of people don't. Because for me, and for Gold Star parents, every day is Memorial Day. It's just not one day out of the year. It's every day of our life for the rest of our lives.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to mention, when you talk about Blackside Publishing, excuse me, for listeners who, I thought this was the coolest thing when I was checking your website, for listeners who have been listening to the show right along, I hosted a gentleman by the name of Bob Osler way back when I first started doing this show. It's been probably a year and a half now, and Bob's book has now been published, and he's the gentleman who wrote about 9/11. So I wanted to share that. Yeah. I thought that was so neat that your publishing company picked up that book and published it.
He was a Ground Zero chaplain, and I thought it's very important people to know what happened. In fact, some Christian publishers told him to take some of the gory parts out, and I said, no, I want that in. People need to know.
Yep.
And then Bob said, you mean like the buckets of thumbs and fingers we found? I said, yeah, but I'm not sure we've put that in there. But I wanted people to know how tragic this is. And then I have another book called A Soldier to Santiago, Finding Peace on the Warrior Path. And this is a young man who had PTSD, and then he walked the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And so you see in his deployment how he's going downhill and suffering. And this, actually, the book starts off with a suicidal scene. Thankfully, he didn't. But then you also see through the book how walking the Camino de Santiago helped him with his PTSD. And so, and he's actually right now walking the Camino de Santiago because he started a 501c3, and he wants to take veterans on the walk to help them with their demons, and it's very therapeutic for PTSD.
Oh, wow, so that's amazing.
Yes, so I'm wanting to publish books that will help give not only our warriors hope and potential healing, but also that other people really understand what they've gone through, even though we'll never really understand. But at
no,
least
we
get
won't.
Some insight.
Yes, I agree with you there. We will never totally understand. Goodness, excuse me. What, Scotty, what can listeners do? What can we as the general public do to honor our veterans this upcoming Memorial Day weekend? What would you like to see someone do for you? Let me put it that way.
Well, I will say Gold Star parents, so there are certain trigger days. And Memorial Day is actually a trigger day. And usually about a month before, I start going downhill. I don't even realize it. Emotionally, the pain ramps up, the depression hits. And if you know someone, include them in your family gathering. Like my girlfriend's coming to be with me on Memorial Day. But in the beginning, when I was like a deer in the headlights, I had a friend whose husband had been in the Air Force. They invited me every holiday. Even all I could do is sit there and just sit there. I could barely talk. I was in so much pain. But it was so comforting to be a part of something that was normal. But on Memorial Day, stop and thank those who died for our freedom that we take for granted, and pray for their families. Because as I said, every day is Memorial Day for the Gold Star families. It's very difficult. So include those that you know, the families, in your celebrations. Don't be uncomfortable that they're in pain. Give them a hug, and you don't need to tell them what to do. But just include them in activities. Invite them out to eat. You know, take them to a movie. Just little things to get them out, because a lot of times we're severely depressed and we end up not doing anything. Then you see on Facebook all the fun things people are doing. And you're going, well, you do lose. One of the things they say is when your child is killed, your address book changes. People aren't comfortable with us anymore. And so, and that's another loss in grief, that you've lost friends that you love, but they're not comfortable with you. It's okay to just sit with us. It's okay. Hug us. You know, do things that would be enjoyable.
And another thing that we've brought up, I've been going to a hospice grief support group too, and another thing that we have brought up in our group, Scotty, is that a lot of people are afraid to mention the deceased name for fear that will bring on a lot of negative emotion. And yet sometimes that person is just chapping at the bit for the opportunity to talk about their loved one.
Exactly. Well, because, you know, when my son was killed, my love didn't die. My memories didn't die. And I do love talking about my son, the funny things he did when he was a kid.
Sure.
Or that's actually very comforting and healing. When you don't talk about him, it's almost like you killed him. He's dead. We can't talk about it. And it's wonderful. And it isn't painful. That's the interesting thing. It's actually healing. Like when his buddies tell me stories, oh, it's so hilarious. But they're scared to tell me. They're afraid they'll hurt me. But it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just means that my son, he's not forgotten. No one wants their loved one to be forgotten.
No. I think that's one of the biggest fears.
Actually, it is. It is a big fear.
Yeah. Well, Scotty, we're drawing pretty close to the end of our time here. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us before we say goodbye?
Well, I think one of the things is, even though my world has changed and nothing will ever be the same again, and as I look back on my baby, the boy, the man, the warrior, Christopher now experiences the truth of these ancient, timeless tests in 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter 1:23 to 24. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Our life is but a temporary tent. Tent is destroyed. We have a home in heaven. You know, Christopher lived knowing that faith in the death and resurrection of Christ is to be absent from the body and is to be present from the Lord. And I think that we often forget that even though here it's very difficult and it's painful as we grieve, we can know that at some time in the future there will be no more tears, no more pain, and we will be together again. And one of the things I told my sons was, just be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my faith. I have that comfort of knowing I'll see my son again. And that is a comfort to me. But it doesn't relieve all the pain. Does not relieve the pain. It doesn't exempt you from grieving. But yet there is a hope beyond this life.
Exactly. You know, Scotty, we didn't even touch on how how his sibling handled Christopher's death.
It was hard because, you know, he was looking forward to when they both had their families and would do things together. And although siblings grieve very differently than the parents, and it will hit him at various times in his life when he gets married and his brother's not there to be his best man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when he has his baby and he can't show his baby off to his brother, and they can't, you know, joke about changing diapers or whatever. So siblings grieve in a very different way than parents do.
Yeah, they do. And I just happen to think, you know, we didn't even touch on that. There's a whole bunch of things that I could keep you on here for another 2 hours, Scotty. Well, I do want to thank you. You have shared your heart with us, and this has got to be very difficult for you. It was difficult for me coming to this show this morning after reading all the things that you sent me last night. So I kind of came to the show with some raw emotion there, you know, and I thought, oh man, you know, I hope this isn't too hard for Scotty to do. And I realize that you've expressed yourself in, in writing and everything, but still to get on a radio show and talk about it. And I don't know if you had done that before. And I thought, man, you know, this might be pretty tough.
May I share something with your audience real quick?
Definitely.
Every tombstone are two dates that belong to God, the day God planned their birth and the date God knows will die. And between those two dates is just one simple line, the dash, that stands for the time that yours and mine. And my son packed an awful lot of living into his dash. But have you given serious thought to your dash, your future, your hope, your legacy? Pain, sorrow, violence, suffering, and goodbyes are the laws of earth. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, and joyful reunions are the law of heaven. My son attended death's funeral. When the law of earth played my son's tap, heaven played reveille. Christopher's wake-up call to rise and live forever. And I would just like to challenge those who are listening to consider embracing Jesus as your Savior and your hope for eternity.
Amen. Well, Scotty, again, thank you so very much. May God bless you richly, and May you find peace and comfort and be able to share with others so that you can bring them the peace and comfort that they need.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the time you took to let me talk about my son.
Well, I sure enjoyed it too. It was a very enlightening show. And like I say, I love it when my guests just get on here and they just share their heart. So that's the most important thing.
Well, that's kind of me, raw, real, and transparent.
Exactly. Yeah. And we all do it for God's glory. So, okay. Well, thank you, Scotty. I will be in touch with you.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
So take care and God bless you. To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please join us again next Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock Mountain Daylight Time. I want to remind listeners that we do have the show on archive. So if you can't listen to it then, you can listen to it afterwards. And for this show, go back and refer it to your friends, to those who may have a real need to hear Scotty's message. Also, I urge listeners to go to pattysheen.com, where you will find several links to information about Scotty and about her son that are quite amazing. So until next time, God bless you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. And remember the meaning of Memorial Day. Remember that in whatever way you can to honor those who have given so much for your freedom. Thank you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a